the way that we feel is our body's way of communicating to us that our needs have changed.
Yeah.
It's not that we've failed or we've messed up or that we should give up because nothing's working. It's that we need to understand that staying healthy is a fluid process, not a definitive destination. Mm-hmm. And when we can get to that place, we can feel more empowered to be an advocate and invested in our health rather than I've failed, I give up, what's the point?
You know, how many of us are really taking the time to listen to what our body has to say? We go and we go and we do and we do and we feel and we feel and we're there for other people and we continue on this cycle over and over, day in and day out. A lot of times suppressing our own feelings, suppressing our own needs, suppressing our own health and wellness. Friends, this is a call from a caring place. I care about you and your wellness. Yes, it's good to do the work. Yes, it's good to go after what God has placed in our hearts. Yes, it's good to strive after being a good mother or wife or purposing in our life to be those things. However, if we are not well in our body, our mind, and our spirit, if something is off in one of those three areas, that is going to flow into those other areas that we're trying to operate into, and it's going to impact us. We are talking about stress and what Rebecca calls the stress food mood cycle, and how we can stop doing all the things and finally ask for help and accept the help, and the importance of connecting with others, and how sometimes we struggle with what she calls decision fatigue. This episode, friends, is important. We need you here, and not just here, but we need you well while you're here. Your family needs you. Your friends need you. If you're ready, let's hop into the episode right now.
Do you feel the tug or pull in your heart calling you to more? Do you feel like it is too late or that you're too broken to pursue the dream in your heart? Well, you've come to the right place. I'm Latasha, and welcome to the Overcome to Become podcast. Pull up a seat and join me each week for real talk, life-changing truths, and actionable takeaways. We are diving into any and everything that has been holding you back from becoming who you were meant to be in every area of your life.
Welcome, Rebecca.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah. So start us out by telling us a little bit about yourself and your wellness journey.
I'm a board-certified holistic nutritionist. I have one son and my husband, and we have some fur babies too. We move around a lot. We just came back to the East Coast, where we're really excited to be. So that's a tiny bit about me. As for my wellness journey, I would say that is something that started, like many women, in my teens when I started to become aware and very self-conscious about my weight and what I was eating. And I began in the whole like calorie counting, lose weight type of mentality. And that just actually wrecked my health, like completely wrecked my health. And I went through these big weight swings as I kind of screwed up my metabolism and my hormones and all the things, doing all the quote unquote right things that were actually all the wrong things.
Yeah.
But it was a journey that I'm grateful for, because it ended up leading me to finding out about holistic nutrition and a completely different mindset around health. So I went back to school, studied that, helped my own health with metal detoxes and hormone balancing and all of those kinds of fun things, and started working with, well, at first I worked with everybody, and I did work a lot with weight loss because that was still what was on my mind. But the more I dove into women's health and understanding what's going on with their bodies and their health and why they weren't losing weight and how that was never really the issue at all, but that it was a byproduct of other things like stress, for example, or hormonal imbalances, and just dove into that in a much deeper level. So it's kind of my own personal story in a nutshell, and how that's led me to working with women's health and particularly stress and hormonal issues.
So let's dive right into that then. About stress, we have come through whoa, quite a year.
Yeah.
Will no longer be named. But some of that is still pouring over into current day. And I was reading an article the other day about how moms in particular are starting to reach their point where kids have been home, they're homeschooling, their schedule is off, they're still trying to do all the things, and they're just reaching a breaking point, and really stressing out in a lot of ways. And their health is being impacted because of that, their mental health, physical health, et cetera. Let's talk a little bit about, as far as stress and your work with women and the impacts of stress on our health.
The impacts of stress are, there's no limit to the negative things it can do. And prior to this lovely year that we've just been through,
yes.
I mean, this was what I talked about. This is my sweet spot. This is where I work with women, because this was not, and this isn't a new issue. It's something I've seen for years. In fact, I think even since kind of the 50s or so, we'll say the 50s, it may have started a little before and compounded a little after. But as women's rights have increased, which we're so grateful for, I question how much our demands and responsibilities have increased too. And, while we've been able to work out of the home and take care of additional things and be a part of additional parts of our community and our world in better ways, how much at home has reduced, or how much have we actually increased? And as we watch like what our kids' demands are, when their demands increase, so do ours. So we just keep compounding all of these amazing opportunities, but at what point do they become too much? So we've already kind of seen this and known that stress is impacting everybody. Stress is one of the leading causes of death, indirectly and directly, the leading causes of death for everyone. And we see that so strongly with women. And then when you take what was already evident over the past few decades, and then you put it under the pressure of the last year, and now all of a sudden we can't ignore it. We can't say, oh, well, I just need to be more resilient. It's like, no. I literally cannot do this anymore. And so while I think what many of us would have loved to have avoided what we went through, I see the beauty in how much this is revealing the real truth of what we were already facing. And we're seeing in this really short kind of rapid fire way just how much stress is affecting us. And stress affects our ability to digest and assimilate foods. It affects our neurotransmitters. So anxiety, for example, to me, you're never going to see anxiety without stress. Ever. In fact, I've never worked with a client who has anxiety that hasn't in some way, shape, or form faced stress as well.
Okay.
You can have stress without anxiety, but to me, you can never have anxiety without stress. So it affects our ability for our body to produce neurotransmitters correctly, and then to process them, because there's basically a recycling that can happen with neurotransmitters. And so you can equally have too much or not enough, depending upon how the body basically goes through the processing. The same is true with hormones. I mean, stress, when we're under stress, we see this shifting of the hormones, because stress does produce hormones in and of itself. But then it affects how other hormones are produced, because the hormonal system, the endocrine system, you can't separate it into these little nice pockets of, well, this is my thyroid hormone and these are my female reproductive hormones. No, they all work in conjunction with each other. And so like a seesaw, when one's high, sometimes another is low. And that just, all of the hormones and the neurotransmitters, what is kind of known as the neuroendocrine system, it's so interconnected that you just have to kind of see that when one thing gets a little off, it's going to affect all the other things too. So when we're under stress, we see that effect on our mood, our hormones, our like I said, our digestion, our ability to rest. When we talk about the fight or flight versus the rest and digest processes of the body, we can't stop and rest. I mean, you name it. And when all of those things get out of whack, the rest of the body will follow suit, because our hormones are our chemical messengers. And so they're telling the body what to do. And if they're off, then again, everything else is just going to follow suit over time.
Yeah. So in one of your podcast episodes, you talk about the stress food mood cycle.
Yes.
And I was super intrigued by that. Explain this concept to us.
So it's kind of the cycle. Just like I mentioned, when we're under stress, it's going to change our hormones. And so it's this vicious cycle where increase in stress hormones changes the output of, or even the management, the detoxification of our reproductive hormones, our thyroid hormones. It's known as the hypothalamus pituitary adrenal axis, and then the effect that that has on other hormones and detoxification. And so then as our female hormones get off, I mean, we all know what PMS feels like.
Oh yeah.
And we know those like crazy mood swings that we can sometimes feel, you know, feeling super tired, super angry. Some people will feel anxious or more depressed during certain times of the month. And that's because, again, I mean, this, you can't separate these hormones and even the way that they impact neurotransmitters. And so, so we get stressed and then we eat differently and we assimilate nutrients differently and we detoxify differently. And then that changes our hormones and that makes us feel just crazy. And let's face it. If you're feeling stressed and if you're feeling crazy, what does that make you do? Get more stressed.
Yeah, so true.
Vicious cycle where stress produces a state of more stress. And then we just find ourselves unable to escape this. And even to the point where we're just so tired and emotionally and mentally burdened that we can't even find the space and the time and the energy to get the help we need to get unstressed and recover.
Yeah. So do you, going back to what you said earlier about, thinking about that cycle, because I know someone's listening going, you know, is that something that was taught to us? Is that something that we bring on ourselves? You know, maybe a combination of all of that. What are the, speak a little bit to some of the external factors that impact us. I know you did a little historical as far as women and us taking on more things. What are some of the things that are maybe either beyond our control, but do impact us, and things maybe even within our own control that impact us as far as stress is concerned?
So stress can come from, like you say, internal and external factors. And I think societally speaking, a lot of our stress comes from undue pressures, misguided expectations, and sort of, I don't want to say that it's a comparison competitive nature, because I know that's not the case, at least obviously for everyone, but there is a bit of that. I mean, we have to work and keep up a bigger home. I mean, our homes today are bigger than they were 50, 60, 70 years ago. And we have more stuff and we're constantly connected. I mean, you take electronics and, you know, it's no longer a, oh, I got home from work and I checked my voice messages on my landline phone where someone called and I'll try to call them back today. And if I don't, then the next opportunity I'll have is tomorrow. It's like, no. Your phone is on you while you're driving and you're expected to respond at a stoplight. And even if you're not expected, you know, that's your nugget of time.
Yeah,
so you never even get a mental moment, because rest comes not only from physically sitting down and stopping, but there's mental rest, there's soulful rest, there's creative rest, right? Like we need things, active rest, like fulfilling ourselves by doing something we enjoy.
Yeah.
So there's inactive and active rest and all these kinds of ways, but we don't even get that moment to just pause and breathe because we're constantly connected.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would even argue like our kids, you know, you take our kids and people talk all the time. They're like, my homework didn't look like this. Like, I don't know how to do these things.
Oh my goodness.
Right?
Yes. Absolutely.
Right. So we're trying to keep up with our kids and their crazy schedules too. And so, I mean, I could go on and on for hours about just even the external demands and how our society sees a successful life and what that puts on us. And then on top of that, I mean, from a faith-based perspective, there's all these pressures to be this perfect Proverbs 31 woman, which we could do a whole episode on my thoughts on that. Because let's be honest, she was super supported and we're not.
Exactly.
I would say that we are less in community today. I know I'm guilty of this.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, my family's not nearby. We move, like I said, we move like crazy people.
Yeah.
And so even having friends and getting a moment's peace, swapping off or letting, we can't let our kids go out and play anymore because the streets aren't safe. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's not like, I mean, I grew up going out and playing outside for hours at a time. And now it's like, can you check in every 5 minutes, please? And like, we need to have electronic, like watches and know where they are at all times. Right. So you know, there's no community, there's no village in the same way. And we don't get the support that the Proverbs 31 woman got, but we still feel the need to be her.
There's all that. Great point. Oh my gosh. No, I mean, let's go there for a moment. For a moment, right? Because I think there is this, you know, like you said, from a faith-based, we have our societal pressures, then we have our faith-based where we, you know, I'm thinking of the scriptures where she was sewing the clothes and then she was going out and making the food and she was, you know, and I'm just, you know, kind of paraphrasing all of all of the things, getting up early in the morning and making sure everyone was taken care of, et cetera. But the part that we don't pay attention to, like you said, is the community.
And yeah, so, she had people, it even references like, she had servants in her home helping to take care of, like she got up early to get everything set up so that they could do the things she couldn't do while she was at the market where she sold her things to the people who then sold it to the people, right? Mm. She wasn't at the market for hours on end. And you take many women today, it's like, well, I have my online business, my side hustle, if you will, and we're doing all the graphics and we're selling and we're providing the services and we're marketing. She never did all of that. Oh, by the way, we're also cleaning and cooking and like, trying to be the teacher for our children, right? After this year. And the friend to our children because they can't go out and play. I mean, we're making ourselves crazy, not because we're trying to, but we are, right?
Yes. We're doing all the things. And don't forget, we're a wife too.
Right. So- oh, yeah. I should mention that. Our poor husbands. Oh, golly.
we have that going on too. So there's that piece of community. And I saw, you know, something that said that, when we're talking about community and neighbors and all of that, a sad statistic where I think it said back in, you know, maybe about 50, 60 years ago, they did a survey and they said about 60 to 70% of the people said, I trust my neighbor. I live in a great community. I love my community. I can go and ask for flour and sugar. You know, all those things we used to hear back in the day. I can ask somebody for this and they'll give it to me. And then they took a survey now recently and it's dropped to like 17% of people who say that they trust their neighbor or even know their neighbor. Like they live by them and they don't know their neighbor. They're not in community, even though social media was intended, you know, that's supposed to be an online community. It's not. And people are just very skeptical of that. So speak to us for a moment for the one, you know, who's listening saying, okay, I know you're saying community, but I'm lacking. And I think that feeds into trust. Lack of trust feeds into stress. It makes you stress as well. Sure. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. I certainly know there's additional stresses for me being someone who wants to be very careful about the things I do, the things I say, that it's taken correctly or that I'm able to, you know, if I'm going to talk to somebody that I'm able to trust them and that I don't have to worry about, well, if I send my kid over here, are you actually a trustworthy person? Yes. And those things, like we're having to make decisions that we really never should even have to make, but there's an added element of, I think, decision fatigue that comes when we just can't trust. You know, if you post something on social media asking for genuine advice, going, hey, I want to hear different perspectives because I'm not sure what to do about X, Y, or Z. And it's an attack, right? After the fact, it becomes this vicious attack. Then there's this decision fatigue before you post, like, do I post this? Did I write it right? Is somebody going to take this the wrong way? And then if you get those attacks, then there's additional stress. I mean, that's just the online community. And then when you take your neighbors, you know, when we first moved where we are now, we put in a security system and the decision fatigue of all the different systems and which ones are more likely to get hacked because of a lack of trust. And I mean, it's wise to take safety precautions, but you know, we have all these stresses and, you know, when you're walking down the street, do you really know the people who live next to you and how guarded are you? I mean, I absolutely think that adds, again, we talk about like rest, not always being physical rest. It puts a mental, emotional stress on us where you're constantly in the state of having to process all this information and questioning and even questioning your own judgment and worrying that I would say most definitely adds stress. At least it does to me.
Yeah, no, same here. Exactly. I think I described this the other day to a friend. It's, especially past this last year, it's a tired in your bones, almost in your marrow, where you feel you're always having to make these decisions and they're not surface decisions. They really are decisions where you're like, wow, if I make this decision, it's this way or that way. And you become, you know, like analysis is it paralysis by analysis?
Now, yes, yes.
Where even the most simple things that you should be able to make a decision on, like which bell pepper should I pick right now in Publix? You know, I'm not sure which one. You could have just grabbed, but now you're sitting there staring at the bell peppers.
Absolutely.
Staring at the food menu in the drive-thru or whatever it is, and just sitting there not able to, and that's stress-induced, correct?
Absolutely. You
say not be, okay.
I would say not only is that stress induced, but it's a really good sign that you're in a space of just kind of what I would call the early stages of adrenal fatigue issues, or what I call adrenal overload. Because adrenal fatigue, adrenals are the glands that process stress. When we strip it down to the simplest of ways to look at this, the adrenal glands are where stress hormones are produced and processed. And so to me, adrenal fatigue is when we are past that point where our adrenals are like, hey, dude, I give up. Like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
But I see it more as adrenal overload and the whole process that comes from adrenal overload, where first they get a little, you know, taxed, but it's like that exciting, like, ooh, I feel good. And then it goes more into, okay, this has been a bit much. And then we go through that process to get to the point where it's true fatigue. But when you can't make a simple decision, like you said, the bell peppers, I think that's a great example.
Yeah.
When you go to the store and you're like, wait, why is this so hard? Like it's a pepper for crying out loud.
Exactly.
It's a good sign. Like your body's cueing you in. You're doing too much. Your brain is functioning too much. Your body is functioning too much. And I can't, like, I just can't.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you find yourself there, because there's probably someone listening going, okay, I'm there, right? I'm there. Simple decisions. I just cannot even deal with them. They seem like a mountain. How do you start? Where do you start with dealing with that, with peeling back? I know, again, you talked about rest, and we hear that a lot.
Right.
But then there's people who are just like, I don't even know where to start, how to start with dealing with all that.
Yeah. So when I get a good solution for how to not just simply live a triaging life as it is right now, I'll let you know. I will say I teach the health sides of stress because I am no stranger to what it's like to be in the grocery store going, what was, like, why was I here? The stress, the managing stress component of it is something I still struggle with myself, because I think that's just the byproduct of the life that we live today.
Yes.
But I would say this, it starts, number one, getting a good system and a handle on how to manage your life. And sometimes that's a good planner. Sometimes that's a counselor. It's talking to a friend. It's reading the right books. It's making space for what you need. And by the way, what you need is maybe not always a bath, right? Because we hear all these like self-care and did you take a bath and get a massage? Well, let me tell you, finding a babysitter and a new massage therapist and all that. And I'm like, this was so much more work than it was worth. Nope, can't do it right now.
That's
like,
so
I just
true.
Can't, right?
Yes.
Sometimes the, you know, the marketed self-care is not what we necessarily need. So even just taking a moment to say, what is it that I actually do need, really need?
Good point.
Just even making the space for that, because what you may need is like not what everybody else needs. So there's that and managing, just sort of managing expectations. One of the things I teach with, I have a guide for making space for your health, because when we are crazy and busy, how do you make time for your health? Mm-hmm. And one of the things I recommend in that is starting by really identifying your values. Like, what's actually important in your life?
Yeah.
Because if you don't have your value set, you will say yes to everything and then have no space to say yes to what's really important. So there's a good foundation with that. And then from there, everybody has different strategies and tactics from, you know, having a very specific, like, this is my morning routine, this is my afternoon routine, and it's the same every day, versus, you know, block scheduling, versus, you know, setting a limit to commitments. And that's something I think everybody has to kind of work out a little bit on their own, because there is no one size fits all.
Yeah, true.
But then beyond that, I would say you have to realize that nourishing your body is, I mean, it's always important. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, we cannot be healthy if we're not nourishing our body. But there is no time that it is more important than when you are under that stress, because your body is taxed in different ways and you need nourishment more than ever, because you can't assimilate the nutrients in your food as well when you're under stress. Like I mentioned at the beginning, when you're under stress, your digestion changes. And so you may eat everything you need to eat, but that doesn't mean your body's actually utilizing the nutrients in those foods. Wow. So nutrient dense foods, easy to digest foods are really important, and avoiding things that overtax the body. So when we're under stress, we want the extra sugar and the extra caffeine or the junk food. And it's super important then that we don't have those things.
Yeah.
Because that just adds more demand. And so being nourished, but not just in the nutrients themselves, but in the enjoyment of food. And I think that there is as much value in enjoying the process of eating as the actual substance that we are eating when we're under those periods of stress.
Yeah.
So enjoying cooking or finding ways to enjoy cooking, or so actually preparing a good meal, sitting down at the table, putting the electronics away, setting that as a sacred time, whether that's alone. Okay. Cause I get, not everybody listening has a family to eat with.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they don't always want a family to eat with. And I know there have been times where I've threatened my child. I'm like, you're going to eat it another time because this is no longer relaxing for me. Yes, I cannot do this right now.
Yes. Like, yes.
Why is mealtime so stressful? Like, can you not just sit still, please?
Yes.
So maybe you don't want to eat with your family. Maybe for a season. And I believe so much in the value of family meals. However, if you're feeling crazy, and if eating with your children actually does make eating worse, give them meals separately for a couple of weeks or a couple of months.
What you need. Yes.
Right. And then you're like, okay, we're going to feed you, push you to bed. And then I'm going to sit down and I'm just going to pause, and I'm just going to breathe. I'm just going to eat. And so don't eat with people, but whatever mealtime looks like for you, making it something that is calm and relaxing and enjoyable and undistracted as much as it can be.
Yeah. You just freed someone, like a lot of people said that about, because we do. It's that guilt of like, all of us need to be here and we need to be, seated, et cetera. But I can, my husband and I were laughing yesterday. I remember when our 6-year-old was younger, and she was the more rambunctious one of all of them. But we did not go out to eat for probably the first 3-4 years of her life. People asked, and we were like, no. We're not going out to
Can't
eat.
Do it.
We are not. Well, it's a big family dinner. We're not going. I mean, we're just not going to go, because we knew that she was going to be after the salt shaker and the ketchup. And then she was going to do all, and not want to sit down and dance on the table. And it's stressful, right? And by the time you do get to eat, or you don't eat, it's cold, you're tired, you're stressed. So I think giving yourself that liberty.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is a season.
Or maybe even mixing it up, saying to your family, like, okay, we're going to do family dinners because this is important, but it's only going to be Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And then on Tuesday, Thursday, it's going to be something different. And it's going to be, maybe it's leftovers, and finding creative ways, kind of just throw out the rules. I hate the rules. And you have to understand, if you're an Enneagram person, I'm an Enneagram 1. Yeah. I live by rules. And yet you got to throw out the rules and say, the rules are what works for me, and create your own set of rules that may only last for a month or two, and know that they are ever changing, but say to yourself, okay, we're going to have leftovers because I can't handle the stress of cooking and sitting and eating with you. So the nights I eat with my family are going to be leftovers. So I only have the stress of eating together. And then the nights where we eat separate, I can cook too. And finding ways that sort of work with that, and then giving yourself grace, because there is a great way to eat. And I will never tell you to eat poorly, but perfect is only as good as it is achievable. And so today you don't focus so much on getting rid of the chicken nuggets and mac and cheese that I know, don't all the tables across the country, especially right now, but, are those good foods? Absolutely not. Would I recommend them? Pretty much never. If I am looking at you and you're going, I feel like I sit down and I try to eat and I am like, I can barely catch my breath, I swallow my food whole, all the things.
Yeah.
Well, then right now, my first goal for you is to just sit and actually taste your food and breathe while you're eating and chew your food and those things. And if that means you're eating chicken nuggets and mac and cheese for another week while you get used to that, do it. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
Because throwing in real vegetables and foods in the midst of all of that is just going to overwhelm you. And then perfect is no longer achievable, which means you get stuck where you are. And so one step at a time, one thing at a time, and just give yourself grace in that space.
Yeah, I love that. And when you say too, asking for help, I am guilty of doing all, going back to that Proverbs 31 woman and just being, you know, wanting to do all of the things and wanting my family to have a healthy meal. I know there's lots of like meal prep things and some other things out there where you can get fresh food now and some other things, or either, you know, just prepping ahead, et cetera. But like you said, being okay, breaking the rules, not having those demands. I know for me, it was one time cooking every, I wanted to be a hot, I think it's for my mother, hot, fresh meal every single night. Mm-hmm. I want them to have the fresh food that I chop the onions and I chop the peppers and I chop, you know, and it's again, stressful. And then my mother-in-law finally said, you know, they have those onions frozen chopped, like already chopped, and you can just get those, or in the produce section, they're already chopped. So asking for help, would you say that too, just being okay for asking for help and wanting and realizing that you do need the help and it's okay.
Absolutely. Yeah.
For someone to help you.
It is okay for someone to help you. And maybe someone is the DoorDash delivery guy, or yes, the people who chop those onions that make it, yes, to the food rack, right?
Yes.
I think, especially in our community right now, where you're like, well, I want to ask for help, but I, you know, this family isn't getting together with anybody for whatever reason, you know, extra safety or precaution, or they're exposed and they don't want to potentially expose other people. I mean, things like that, that are different in our world today that don't allow us to ask for help in the way that we used to.
True.
And, you know, I think there's a mentality shift that has to happen across the board, right? Mm. Because like for me, chopping the onions, that's so therapeutic. And I'm like, this is my moment. This is my moment where I can't touch anything else because these onions, they will make my towel smell. I can't touch my phone. You cannot bother me. And I'm like, this is my time. Let me chop my onions. However, it may be like really not that for you, especially if you're like, I don't know how to chop onions, and somehow
that's true.
Know, make a mess. And this is really crazy. And I feel like this is not working. Okay. So then buying the bags of chopped onions is certainly an option. And again, giving yourself grace to go, well, if I'm making soup, what if I make a double portion? Because the best way in this point is so that I have leftovers for tomorrow night's dinner or two nights from now dinner.
Yeah.
Or, you know, finding a restaurant nearby that, if you have it, and I recognize having lived in a lot of places, not everywhere has this, but there are some places where there are pretty decent, you know, vegetable heavy, farm to table, food restaurants, and just saying, okay, we're going to incorporate it into our schedule, into our budget, et cetera, that, you know, every other week we're going to order that to go. And that's just going to be something we need right now. I need that for my sanity now.
Exactly.
So asking for help may not literally be saying to a friend, can you take care of my kids so that I have a minute to cook this meal or to get out to get a massage or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
It may be looking in creative spaces and even asking your family for help and saying, I know you may not like leftovers, but we're going to do this. Or guess what? You get to load the dishwasher. Like I'm going to teach you at a young age that this is a totally okay thing to help with.
Yes.
So it can look different than maybe what we have had it look like in the past.
Yeah. Yeah. So I want to ask this question. Someone might be wondering, because I know you said you work with clients, et cetera, and there may be someone out there that says, you know, I need just some more one-on-one coaching. I need, you know, a nutritionist to go and speak to. I think I've, you know, tried to research things. Again, the asking for help piece. How do you recommend one go about, you know, seeking a nutritionist or someone to help them really understand all the parts, not just put this on your plate, but your hormones are like this, or this, all this is going on. This might be a better recommendation for you.
Yeah. So that can be, you know, a tricky process because not everybody works the same. And a lot of times there is this sort of perfection driven mentality around many of the plans and recommendations that are out there. It's like, eat this way and then you'll feel great. Which number one, there is no one plan ever, ever, ever that works for everyone. I don't care how many people it's worked for. It may not be right for you. Mm-hmm. And again, perfection is only as good as it is achievable. So, you know, I can say that I have put together a lot of podcast episodes that might be a good place to start with even just understanding how the body works. Cause I talk a lot about the science of hormones and stress and adrenals, and just even listening to episodes like that to say, hey, this actually does sound like something I'm dealing with. Mm. And starting in that space where it's just more of a wrap your head around maybe a different philosophy than what is frequently and most commonly taught.
Yeah.
There are people like myself who do work in an online space, and I know that can be particularly helpful in today's day and age.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I take clients on in a virtual space where we work via Zoom or phone call or things like that. And it allows people to work with someone, even if you're not in the right geographic location.
Mm-hmm.
And then like when I work with people, one of my goals is not just to, in an isolated way, you know, be a one-stop shop, but to say, okay, let's go to your doctor and ask for X, Y, and Z, or you may need to see a massage therapist because, you know, your muscle tension, believe it or not, is affecting your digestion. And so looking at how we can help you find people in your own community when you do need that in-person interaction. And just being able to sort of integrate where you are on the way to where you're going within the space of both virtual and in-person stuff. So that would be, you know, I'm always happy to chat with somebody. I know I'm not necessarily the right person for everybody because of what I specialize in and what they have going on. And sometimes it is just a little bit of trial and error of looking up keywords like holistic or functional or integrative health in your area. And unfortunately, it can sometimes be a process where you have to hit two or three people before you get to that right person. But not feeling guilty if it's not working, because I know many of my clients, in fact, I would say probably 98% of the clients I've ever worked with, I am not the first person they started with. And they've worked with naturopaths and doctors and functional medicine specialists and you name it. And they're going, it's still not working. Why? And so they're coming to me and we're looking at things from a different perspective because they've already been through the gamut of working with different professionals. And sometimes they feel like, am I just not doing it right? And it's like, you know, again, it's not a one size fits all. And I do think that's where a lot of health professionals fall short is it's they want a one and done, here's your protocol and move on. And you really do have to dive into each individual situation. And so if it's not working with somebody that you do try, it may just be not quite right for you. And so don't feel guilty or feel like, you know, you're doing something wrong.
So we'll have Rebecca's, you know, contact information and you can connect with her there. But like she said, don't give up and continue to ask questions and be an advocate, would you say, for your own health? Yeah. Advocate
for yourself. Yeah. There's a fine line with women and the way that I think we view our health between advocating for it and desiring this like definitive perfection. And I say definitive perfection, it's not that you shouldn't feel great, but understand that our body and our health is not a static state of being.
I like that.
And so, you know, just like each month, our hormones change on a day-to-day and week-to-week basis.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're going to have seasons in your life where you need something different. And a lot of times we can feel this sense of failure when all of a sudden we feel more fatigued or our anxiety flares up or whatever that is. And I think we need to start understanding that our health and our body, or I should say our health is our body's way. The way that we feel is our body's way of communicating to us that our needs have changed.
Yeah.
It's not that we've failed or we've messed up or that we should give up because nothing's working. It's that we need to understand that staying healthy is a fluid process, not a definitive destination. Mm-hmm. And when we can get to that place, we can feel more empowered to be an advocate and invested in our health rather than I've failed, I give up, what's the point?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's so good. So if you were able to talk to your younger self, go back in time, what would you tell young Rebecca?
Probably that sentence I just said. Again, I mentioned the Enneagram. I know not everybody understands the Enneagram, but as an Enneagram one, like we're known as reformers and perfectionists. And we want this, you know, and you and I talked about this right before we started recording. We want to tie everything up with a nice little bow and say, well, that's done. And I wanted my health to be this thing that was like, okay, well, that's done. Now I conquered that, moving on to the next thing.
Yeah.
And my health is not something to be conquered or perfected. Mm. And even just this, I think maybe one of the greatest things that I've learned. In fact, I did an episode in my podcast about like five of the biggest things I've learned. And, and I talk so much about how perfection is not a thing in this need to control my health. I had to let go of that and be okay with the fact that some days I will be tired. And some days I need to listen to my body, that tired isn't a sense of failure or that I ate the wrong thing or I did the wrong thing, but rather a call to rest. And just finding, I think, joy in food. I love food. I've loved food for as long as I can remember. And for a while in my perfection-driven health journey, I lost that joy for food. It just felt, and I say for a while, off and on. I did it, you know, in the dieting side of things. I did it in the natural health, you know, avoid all the gluten, all the dairy, all the this, that, and the other. And, you know, God really called me back to like, the desires you have, like I've given them to you. And like your desire for food is not one that needs to be overcome, but embraced. And by embracing that and knowing just how much of a gift food is, not only for our healing, but also for the pleasure that it brings to our life. Oh golly, that is, I feel like I could just teach on the pleasure of food. And even that would bring so much stress relief. Like if that, if I could only teach on one thing, like I feel like that would be it.
The way that we have framed it, and I think beat ourselves up for so long for wanting and enjoying nourishment, and God made it. He said it was good, right? He made the food for us to consume. But through all of the different pressures and misinformation and all kinds of other things like that, our perspective has changed. So what a perspective shift there. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah.
So tell us what song is currently on repeat.
Oh, golly. It is, this new song. I think it's Head Up High. It's by Fits in the Tantrums. And it's like Head Up High, and it's just, it's got this great beat. My son loves it. And it's like, I get, you know, I fall down, but I keep my head up high, and we have it playing all the time right now.
I love it. Okay. I'm putting that on there. I love getting recommendations. So tell us what food, going back to food, would you not want to live without?
Oh my gosh. Where do I even start with that?
I know, right? I know.
Oh man.
If you need to pick a couple, if you need to pick a couple, that's fine.
You know, at the moment I would tell you chocolate, which is not typically my answer, but I would say chocolate and garlic. It just, what would life be without garlic?
I know. It's in every, you are so right about that. I put it probably in everything.
Yeah.
Except for oatmeal.
Actually, you can do it in oatmeal. You can do a savory oatmeal and it's delicious.
Oh, okay. I have to look that up. Yeah, but I think it is. Yeah, you're right. It is in everything. Yeah, almost. Yeah.
I've been doing this garlic confit where you slow roast garlic and then you can like spread it like a jam. Oh my golly, it's so good.
Oh my God. So I have to know, what do you put it on? Like a
So I mean, you could do it on like toast if you eat bread or I like actually will take the garlic and just throw it into various dishes. I'll do aiolis with it.
Oh yeah.
Oh, it's so good. It's like roasted garlic, but it's sweeter because of the way that it's slow roasted. Okay. It's really good. Oh, it's so good.
Oh my goodness. That sounds so good. Yes. Aioli. Yes. Okay. That sounds delicious. So tell us, what's your favorite time of year?
Fall.
Ah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And where you are now, you're going to actually get a fall.
I get fall again. Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
I feel kind of sad that we moved back right after fall ended, and I have to wait a whole year for it because after living in Arizona, I'm like, man, I really miss fall. But I just, I really like all the year except for January, February, and early March. Fall is my favorite.
What are you currently reading or watching?
Okay. So I'm currently reading this incredible book by Amy Walker. It's called But I Flourish. And I'm actually reading a pre-release of it. And I have to tell you, it's maybe one of my favorite books ever. And, it's just incredible. It is so life-giving, and I don't feel like I've ever felt so seen and known, and her words are just bringing new life to like very familiar Bible stories I've heard over and over and over again. Yeah. And yet there's just, it's just new application and life to it. And I love it. I'm loving it so much. So I'm reading that. And what am I watching? You know, all over the place because our shows have just started back, some of the shows, and I'm trying to think, what are we watching right now? We watched a new episode of NCIS last night.
Which
NCIS? That's my husband and my show.
Isn't there like different
There's types several. Of NCIS? The classic NCIS.
Oh, the classic one. Yes. Okay. Yes. I know there's like several different ones now, but yeah, I'll say the classic one. So what makes you smile?
What makes me smile? Good food. Mm. Like when we sit down for a really good meal and my son is like, this is so good, mom. And like everybody's laughing around the table and, you know, we're talking about the food and savoring about the food. I mean, there is nothing quite like that.
Yes.
That and walking around my city.
Last one. God is.
God is greater than me.
Amen. So tell us, Rebecca, how can the listeners connect with you?
Yeah. So my website is RebeccaFedrowitz.com. And just to make things super complicated, I spell my first name R-E-B-E-K-A-H. And then my last name is a mouthful. So I'm guessing just go to the show notes to get the link.
Yes, it'll be there.
The good news is it's a super unique name. So if you Google it, there's not a whole lot of options other than me. So RebeccaFedrowitz.com is my website.
Thank you so much, Rebecca. I mean, there's so much we could have went into. This could have been a several hour long interview. So much knowledge, so much wisdom that you've shared. And I know you have, just me sitting here has changed my perspective in so many different ways. And so I know the listeners are feeling the same. So you all, please go and connect with her there. Follow her on Instagram, go to her website. Thank you, Rebecca, for taking this time out. I appreciate you.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. It was great.